Colossians chapter 2. I want to say again, thank you for being back in the evening service. And it looks like the smoke's clearing up a little bit outside, at least a little bit. It's a little clearer today than it has been in the last few days. How many have had any problems because of the smoke? Let me just see your hands. Oh, man, many of you. My little guy's asthma spiked up a little bit because of that. And so we thank the Lord that the smoke is gone. But as I said in my Sunday school class today, before you complain about the smoke or the air quality, just be thankful that you're alive. Be thankful that the fire is not here in Morgan Hill or Gilroy or San Martin. And make sure that you're praying for those people and praying for those that have been not just displaced, but also those who have been who have suffered loss, their own family members and things like that. I pray that they would wisely steward this trial. Colossians chapter 2, I believe, in the first several verses here, and our text verse will be down in verse 6, contains a truth. I'm not convinced that there's ever been a person that truly has unpacked it all or completely understood. And I think that you'll understand once we read it. And yet I'm also convinced that there's a great blessing to anybody that's willing to try, a great blessing to anybody that's willing to try to swim the depths of the Word of God in order to find sometimes the simplest truths that have the most profound impact. And I want to try to do that tonight. And so in Colossians chapter 2, if you're able to, would you please stand with me together for the reading of God's Word? Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For I would, in verse 1, that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." This is one of the letters that Paul would write to people he would never get to meet. Now think about that. Think about the fervency that he writes. If you ever read a book like this, it's always best to read it all at one sitting and get the true spirit of the letter. And he's writing to people who've never met him. And yet, here's what I know. He never met us either. But in the Spirit of God, the truth is still truth. Amen? So he tells them that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order. I love that phrase. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now here's the admonition. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Why? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now go back up, if you will, and look, notice verse 6. There's a phrase here at the end of this verse that I want to capitalize on tonight for a few minutes. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Notice there's two verses there that really are the key to the whole passage and divide it so. The Bible says, as and so. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'd please bless our time in the Word of God. Lord, I lift up this congregation to you, and I want to say thank you for allowing us to be together today. And now this second time, I pray would be a help. I pray that today the Word of God would not return void tomorrow. I pray that you will have accomplished that which it is sent forth to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd not only give us understanding in this hour, but that you'd give us wisdom to apply that understanding in the next. And I pray, God, that each and every day this week would be touched with the grace of God. And I pray that you would grant all of us, Lord, the full knowledge of your will, and Lord, that you would give us all spiritual understanding and wisdom. I pray that you'd be pleased with what you see as we walk in Christ this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The text divides itself into faith and practice. The Bible says, ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. There is your faith. And then the practice is, walk ye in him. That is to be our daily practice. Now, I want us to note this evening that whatever else you have done in your life, first and foremost, or you have not done to this point in your life, thank God that you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have not grown in grace like you have wanted to grow, if you have not grown as even God has expected you to grow, at least tonight, settle the fact at Calvary, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I'm so thankful that I've received Christ. John 1 and verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If you've not accomplished very much in your Christian life to this point, at least you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, praise the Lord that you have done then what many others have yet to do. And that is, you've received Christ as your Savior. And if that is all that you have to draw on tonight, at least that's something. At least you can leave here saying, okay, I may not be very happy with the way I lived this last week, and I may have made some bad decisions, and I may not have been as faithful in recent days as I wanted to be, but thank God that I'm saved. Thank God that the blood washes away all my unrighteousness. Thank God that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God that my times are in his hands. At least be thankful for that. And yet our text indicates that there's something a little bit more to Christianity than salvation. There's something a little bit more to our walk. Our text indicates that we ought to walk just as we received Jesus Christ, which was how? By faith. The Bible says in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, that is the way as, I received by faith the grace of God, the eternal gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and the just shall live by faith. That's another admonition that Paul writes to another church, but to this one, who he'll never meet, he says, listen, I'm so thankful that you're saved. You ought to be thankful, but as ye have received, therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. Now, wherever he leads, that means you ought to go. However he decides to direct, I believe that means that we ought to follow. And when you take a step to follow him, it ought to be by faith. It ought not to be double-minded. It ought not to be second-guessing. If the Lord leads, we ought to follow. Amen? It ought to be that way. We ought to be able to trust God so much that whatever he asks us to do, as we have received, therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to so walk in that decision by faith. Now, if we've received Christ himself in our innermost hearts, then our new life will manifest its intimate acquaintance with him by a walk of faith. Now, I want to ask you before we get a little farther in here, how is your walk with Christ? In comparison to other days, maybe gone by, maybe good, maybe better, maybe a little less, but how is it? You see, it's always good to take a spiritual temperature. It's always good to have an assessment. The Bible says, let a man so examine himself. And I think we all need to make sure and say, okay, no, I know that I'm settled and I want to thank God that I'm settled in my faith. But I need to be examining how I'm walking because of that faith. Because the Bible says in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. Am I just rooted or am I built up? Do I just have an establishment of my faith? Or am I abounding in this faith so much so that I can be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus unto all men? I want you to take your notes tonight, and I want you to see that walking indicates four observable aspects of our Christian life. And notice that I chose the word observable. Because if I have received Christ as my Savior and I am walking by faith, it will be seen. It will be different. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I was able to share that with a young man that trusted Christ as a Savior on Wednesday night. And I said, now here's the great part about being saved. All those old things are gone. Now everything's going to become new as we walk by faith. Now I want you to see, first of all, in your outline, number one, that walking implies action. The Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It doesn't say sit. It doesn't say be stagnant. It doesn't say lay around. It says walk. So walking obviously implies action. Someone wrote, our religion is not to be confined to our closet. We must carry out into practical effect that which we believe. Now, this is the practical end of this morning's message. In other words, I can claim to have read the Bible. I can claim to even be well-versed in Scripture as to what Christians ought to do and what Christians ought not to do. But the question is, am I living according to what I say I believe? Have I taken the truth and have I made that my pattern for living? Have I accepted by faith Jesus Christ? Yes. Well, have I accepted the way he wants me to live? Have I accepted those things I'm supposed to put off? Am I accepting by faith all that he wants me to do? James chapter 2 and verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James is not trying to say, by the way, that we're saved by works. How many understand that? What James is saying is, my faith is proved by the way I live my life. Does your home life reflect your faith in action as it pertains to your relationship with your spouse? Can you genuinely look at the Word of God and say, if this is how I'm supposed to love and honor and cherish my spouse, I believe that to be the truth. Now, what does it look like when I go home? If this is what the Bible says about parenting, does my parenting indicate that you trust what the Bible tells us about raising children? Do your actions display your trust in God's plan for serving the Lord? I'm simply saying, we could spend the rest of the night breaking it down and I could spoon feed all of you, but you're a Sunday night crowd. You're supposed to be the people, and the Wednesday night crowd is supposed to be the people that says, okay, I get it, I'm saved by faith. Now the question is, are we living by it each and every day? And that's the admonishment by the Apostle Paul to these Christians whom he'll never meet. Listen, I hear of your faith, and I rejoice of your faith. And as you have, therefore, received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so walk ye in him. If he's leading you, are you following? If he's speaking to you, are you listening? God says that's the way it is manifest that people would see. Charles Spurgeon said, if a man walks in Christ, then he so acts as Christ would act. For Christ being in him, his hope, his love, his joy, his life, he is the reflection of the image of Jesus. And men say of that man, he's like his master. He lives like Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did you know when somebody sees a life of faith, they are in utter amazement. They can't account for it. They see someone living in the love of God and the peace that passes all understanding in the midst of turmoil, and they say, wow. And guess who gets the glory for that? God gets the glory for that. Why? Because it's not explainable by man. I couldn't walk around and try to justify how everybody can simply manage life. So it must be of God. Walking in Christ is far more than being saved, isn't it? It is your salvation being the new reality that you live in. Is Jesus Christ the new reality? Walking, first of all, implies action. Secondly, walking indicates progress. Walking indicates progress. We were in Israel for close to 10 days, or right at 10 days, and we walked somewhere between 37 and 40 miles in those 10 days. One day seemed like we walked all 40 miles in one day when we went, we got dropped off at the Mount of Olives and walked down the Palm Sunday Road, where Jesus walked to get into Jerusalem and went through Stephen's Gate or the Sheep Gate and walked by and over into St. Anne's. And then we went through the Via Dolorosa and all the way up through the different stages and walked down into the Muslim Quarter and then walked over to the Jewish Quarter. And I thought, great day. Jerusalem's not this big. I know it's not this big. But the point is, we made progress. We left one place so that we could arrive in another place. We didn't stop. If we stopped, we'd have never arrived. How many understand what I'm saying? Walking implies or indicates progress. Spurgeon said we are to proceed from grace to grace. Run forward, he said, until you reach the uttermost degree of knowledge that a man can attain concerning our beloved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. Listen. So ye would abound more and what? More, not more than less. It says, see that you would abound. And he goes back, and it's almost like it's a mirror picture here. It says, listen, that as you've received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Peter said it this way, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Hopefully you have not arrived at the place where you have arrived. And that's a big hope. It's a caution, is it not? To be a part of a church that would preach the Bible for so long and get to the place, finally arrive at the place where we've arrived, that we don't need any longer. I don't ever want to get to the place where I've heard so many sermons and I've read the Bible so many times and have witnessed to so many people that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Because that's the Laodicean mindset. Listen, I've been there. I've done that. I've got the t-shirt. I've read the book and we win and I get it. Leave us alone, Lord. We've arrived. What did Jesus say? Oh, you have no idea. You're poor. You're wretched. You're miserable. And you're blind. Ask of me. Buy the riches of me. Oh, I don't want to ever get to that place. Every day, I don't know about you, but I need new mercies. Every day. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Every day I wake up, I need new mercies. Every service, I need fresh oil, Brother Moore. Every service. Every time we come together, every night I need peace from the first press. Whenever I open the Bible, I ought to never be a hearer of the word and not a doer, lest I deceive my own self. Because here is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I don't want to get there. I don't want to get to the point where I'm unsensitive anymore to the power of the cross. By the way, the choir knocked it out of the park this morning. And if that didn't move you, I'd be at the altar tonight. If the gospel and the love of God doesn't move you and you can't fall in love with Jesus afresh and new ever, each and every day, you might want to check yourself. Because walking indicates progress. It signifies I am going forward. If you were to write down in your notes tonight an area you need to make progress in, what would it be? Think about it for a minute. If you were to examine your soul by the Spirit's help, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. If he were to reveal to you an area of progress, what would that be if you wrote it down? I wonder if you want to share it. Anybody want to share tonight an area that God just spoke to you? He said, here's how I want you to progress. Anybody? No? Yeah. Amen. Okay. God wants you to progress in being a bold witness. Somebody else? I need to progress in obeying the Holy Spirit. Who else?
Just going further in your witness,
bold and witness. Who else? Yeah.
God every day.
Being a witness. Who else? Yeah. Alana.
Prayer.
Who else? If God said, I want you to progress in this way, I want you to grow, I don't want you to stop, I want you to continue to mature, what's yours? Who else? Yeah, Dave. How does God want you to progress? Yeah. So would you say patience? Yeah. Patience. Daniel? Stewarding time. Precious treasure. Who else? How does God want you to progress?
Trust.
Faith. Who else? Yeah. Perfect. How'd you receive Christ? By
faith.
That's the whole baseline. Now I've got to trust that God wants me to progress. Now watch this. He wants me to mature. He wants me to grow. And if that's what God wants you to do, the question is, will you trust him to do it? It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to understand what it's for. That's what this is all about. And it's another thing to put it into practice. And that's what Paul is getting to. It's like, listen, I have no doubt that you all are saved. I've heard of your faith, and I rejoice in your faith in Christ. But I want you to keep going that way. There's more to Christianity than salvation, and there's more to obeying that life than just being baptized. Though I think we all need to be baptized after we're saved. There's much more that follows and what happens. Okay, so we get baptized, we join the church, we get a good Bible, we have a Bible reading schedule, we start going to an adult Bible class, we start attending services, and the next thing you know, we're tithing and we're giving to missions and we're doing all this thing, but then what? Is that the only thing that makes up a good Christian? It's all the stuff that we do in public? Is that all that there is? Because we might as well go home, ladies and gentlemen. There's far more. God is not done with you. How do you know that? Because you're sitting here looking at me. That's how I know. You woke up today. God gave you breath. He's given you time, and he wants you to steward it. He's given your Holy Spirit to guide you in the truth. And as he goes deeper into your life and says, I want more of you out, and I want all of me in, I'm supposed to say, yes, you can have it all. I surrender it all. Walking implies action. Am I living the truth? It also indicates progress. Am I becoming more and more like Christ? Because thirdly, walking also intimates continuance. Continuance. There must be a perpetual abiding communion in Christ. I suppose you could put it this way. The Christian life, I tell parents all the time, the key to parenting is consistency. That's the key. The key is consistency. Inconsistency kills everything I'm trying to do. We could say that of the Christian life. Consistency in my time with God. Consistency in my communion with God. How many Christians think that in the morning, in the evening, they can come to the company of Jesus, but all day long give their hearts to the world? And listen, the best of us on a given day are very sincere to Jesus in the morning. And when we lay down with our children and we're asking for protection and we're asking for God to give us rest and to recharge our batteries, there's no doubt that those are sincere prayers. But what about the rest of the day? What about the rest of the time? What about all the phone calls? What about all the conversations? What about all of the interruptions? Do we not want to have communion all day long with the one Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us? Is he not worthy of that communion that we should, according to John 15, abide in Christ and his word abide in me? And you may say, well, I don't know how that's possible because I'm very vocal in my vocation and I've got to be busy and I've got to do all those things. Do you not do all those things to serve the Lord? Do you not consider how ye would have you to do all those things? If we were to give ourselves in the morning and give again to Christ ourselves in the evening, this is very poor living because there is so much more at the right hand of God. We should always be with him, should we not? We should always be treading in his steps. We should always be doing his will. Lord, how would you have me to do this? What harm is there in that? I say zero harm, all good. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not listen the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin." If nearness is likeness, after walking with Jesus for as long as you've been saved, should you not bear more of his image than less? I don't know how long you've been saved. I suppose after speaking with people in the last couple of weeks that there are people who were saved 20, 30 years ago, maybe longer, and never lived like it. And so they're not bearing much of the image. If people were to look at their life, they would not see much of Jesus Christ because of the decisions that they made. Oh, they were saved, and I'm not doubting that they were saved by faith, but they have not walked as they were saved. And I said to my class this morning, and I may preach a message on this in the coming future, but I believe you can lose your assurance of salvation. Now be very careful. I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I do believe you can lose your assurance of it. Why? Because the Bible says to give all diligence, add to your faith. And if you don't, the consequence is that you'll forget the sins from which you were once purged. A man walked into our church last Sunday morning, said, "I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven." Somebody took him in the back, opened up the Word of God. He said, "No, I remember now. I'm saved. I just need to get back to the Lord." Continuance. Listen, if you've stopped continuing, start again tonight. Let the past be the past. If nearness is likeness, I'm supposed to be more like him. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The Bible tells us it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all of his generations, and Noah walked with God. The Bible says the only other place in Scripture that it's noted, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. That's continuance. In a time when nobody else would. When's the last time you would use the term consistent to describe your walk with the Lord Jesus? The more consistent your walk with the Lord, the more consistently your reward. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You see, I think subconsciously we delete certain words because we don't want them to apply to us. Oh, we want the reward without being diligent, just like the rest of our society. We've become entitled to the blessings of God, and God has to remind us that's not how it works. "As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." That walk implies action. That walk indicates progress. It intimates continuance. Fourthly, and I'm done, walking involves habit. Habit. When we speak of a man's walk, when you read of his conversation in the Bible, we mean his manner. That is the constant tenor of his life, the habits. Acts 20, verse 18 reveals it this way. When they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." That's what we're talking about. What was Paul's habit? 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." There was a habit. When you followed Paul, you knew what he was going to do. When he came into a town, he'd immediately go to the synagogue and he would preach to the Jews. And then when they would say, I've had enough, or when people got saved, he would go off into the Gentiles, and wherever he was, house to house and publicly, he would teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would work his tent job to provide for himself, because he didn't want anybody to blame him or say that he was working for filthy lucre. And then he would pray, and then he'd go to the next place. And repeated the same cycle over and over again. Now, if we sometimes enjoy Christ and then forget him, if we sometimes call him ours and lose our focus, then that's not a habit, is it? We're not walking in him. That means that we must keep to him, doesn't it? Keep thy heart with all diligence. We must cling to him. We must never let him go. We must but live and have our being in him, as the Bible says. That's even as so walking in Christ. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Ephesians 5 and verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. I can just appreciate. So I almost said enjoy, but I don't enjoy when it's said to me. But I can at least appreciate the loving truth that John says. Twice now, he said, if you say one thing and do another, you're a liar. You're no different than the Pharisees. And so he says, if we say one thing and do another, we're a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Paul is making a very, very poignant statement. You have trusted Christ. Now what I'm telling you is, as ye have therefore received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. Endeavor is a word. Persevere, remain diligent in the same way in which you began to run your race. Now I don't know how long ago that was. I don't know when that was for you. But have you fainted recently? Have you grown weary? Because the Bible says, you're forgiven. Now walk. In Israel, when we were, I said to Miss Cassie, about the third day, I said, Miss Cassie, are you doing okay? She said, no, I'm not doing okay. I thought, oh man, here it comes. I'm going to get both barrels right here in the middle of Israel. And I said, what's wrong? She said, these people are too slow. Everybody in the bus, younger than her. She's like, come on, let's go. We got things to do and police people to see. And I was like, well, that's awesome. I'm not the only one that thinks people need to hurry up. And, man, she wanted to go. She wanted to make progress. She didn't like to dilly-dally. Man, if we got a place to go, we need to be there. We need to hear it, say all we got to say, take all the pictures and get on the bus and go to the next spot. Let's get her done. Now, let me ask you this. Wouldn't that be great if we had that kind of mindset for our walk with Jesus? If we just got up every single morning and were that fervent in spirit, and we decided to be that diligent about it, that we wouldn't just lollygag or just happen to be, that we would genuinely move along, that we would progress in that way, man, that would be wonderful. There were many people who, for various reasons, struggled on the trip. Things that would encumber them, whether it was physical or whatever, and they were slower. And unfortunately, you know, it was like herding cats many times, but you get them all together and then you say, okay, let's go to the next spot. And the line does this and it elongates back here. And here's the last and here's the first. And then they have to stop and wait, and they're waiting. And then the last walks up really slow and they're tired. And when they get there, they go, okay, let's go. And the friend's like, I just got here. Can I have a second? No, you can't have a second. We got to go. They're inhibited. They're weighted down. There's something that's causing them. Sometimes there are weights in our lives that keep us from walking the way we should. Look, the fact of the matter is, one of the things that I'm proud of some of those people is that they didn't quit. They didn't stop. They just kept going. Some of the steepest hills that we had to go up, they just said, no, I want to see that place. I want to get up that mountain. I want to go. A few of us decided to hike Masada. And that's about 1.13 or 1.16 miles, and it's a pretty good ascent. They call it the trail of about 10,000 steps. And it's not easy. I decided I would improve my time. Last time I did it was 42 minutes. This year I did it in 47. Brother Gridley, last time I did it was up there mocking me openly before everybody. Come on, slacker! You know, he's got the gift of encouragement like I do. But I made it. Why? Because I didn't stop. And that's what I hope for you. That's what Paul wanted for every letter, every Christian that he wrote, every church, was don't stop. As ye have, therefore, received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. Then notice what it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, he said, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You know, sometimes people or the devil will insinuate it's not worth it. It's too difficult. The traditions of man, you need to just be settled. This is what I would rather have you do, and that's where we have to just say, now wait a minute, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God's not going to lie to me. This is the life I'm supposed to live. Is it first the Lord Jesus was the trust of your faith, the source of your life, the principle of your action, and the joy of your spirit? I pray that you would let him be the same till life is all over. That tonight you would leave here and you would just decide, this is what I'm going to do. I haven't, and now I am, at least tonight. It would be better tonight to leave out of those doors and say, okay, I pushed the reset button. I want to walk that way, rather than just say, oh, well, because I'm supposed to be growing. I want to become more like Jesus Christ. How does God want you to progress? How does he want you to grow? Think about that tonight, and then trust him by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need to walk in Christ as we have received Christ as our Savior, and that is by faith in every way. Lord, there are homes in here tonight who are struggling and marriages that are struggling because of faith issues. Maybe it's in the role of a spouse. Maybe it's in the responsibility of a spouse. I don't know. But Lord, you know, and I know that the Holy Spirit of God will guide them into the truth that they need to receive tonight. And Lord, I don't know, but there would be somebody who, Lord, is not walking by faith at work. There may be somebody who's not walking by faith in their own heart personally, and they're struggling. Lord, tonight, I pray that they would find a place in this auditorium and they would reconcile their accounts with you. I pray that the fellowship of our Savior tonight would be sweet, tomorrow would be sweet, and throughout the day. God, may we not leave a hole in the middle of our day when we leave home to when we make it back home, but rather that we would walk in the Spirit all day long so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God, I know that that increase is what you bless. I know that that fidelity is what you bless. The truth and action in our life, may we not be just hearers anymore. Tonight, help us to resolve to walk in him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand?